Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
At Jersey Mike's, app is short for appetizing. Save 25% on your order with the code JMikes25. JMikes25 at Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. The Colts, there's about 7, 8, 9 teams need quarterbacks. The Colts are officially off the board. They got Carson Wentz. We still got a lot of teams that need a quarterback, and we'll talk about that. But first, Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Now, Tom Brady and Tyrann Mathieu talk some trash to each other during the Super Bowl. Brady's former teammate, Kyle Van Noy, said he's used to seeing Brady get heated like that after playing with him in New England. And he also made a comparison between this behavior from Brady and what we've seen from Michael Jordan.
It reminds me of Michael Jordan in his documentary where it's like when he has the baseball bat and a cigar right before the game. He's like, you can tell a lot about a man when, you know, they could talk when it's 0-0 or they're down, but any man could talk when they're ahead or something like that. The big point was when Tyrann caught the pick and there was a flag and Tyrann didn't know there was a flag. I think he was talking big cash to Tom. It caught up to him because he scored on him and he let him know.
Yeah, Tom's a little, you know, there's a lot of the great players. Larry Bird was a trash talker. Mm-hmm. Brady's a trash talker. Gary Payton was. Michael Jordan is. They're guys that are, I don't have a, whatever, there's the video.
Yeah, it's so good.
I got no problem. You know, listen, there's, look at, he goes and hunts him down here.
If you played sports, you know that chirping and trash talk is just a part of the game. So when you hear some of the best in the game are the best at trash talk, it's not surprising. As we just heard, you saw it in The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. He almost would do it to get added motivation. He would create the drama, create a reason to want to just go after a player and get that added motivation to not only beat the team, but then beat the player. And
well, baseball players, everybody gets into zones,
yeah.
Right? Like in golf, you get into a zone. Well, what's the difference between yesterday's round of golf and this year's? Confidence.
Yeah.
You feel like you can't miss. Michael Jordan has the legendary series against Portland.
Mm-hmm.
When he turns to the Blazers and it's like a lot of this stuff. A-Rod lost confidence. He couldn't hit against the Detroit Tigers in a series. Joe Torre had to move him down. So however you get the confidence, get it.
Whatever. I like that confidence is kind of the theme
yes.
in a lot of our news stories
yep.
today. Feeling wanted and confident. All right, well, Serena Williams lost in straight sets to Naomi Osaka in the semifinals of the Australian Open. She got very emotional after the match, waving and putting her hand on her heart as she left the court, and was asked about the gesture and whether it was a final farewell to the crowd.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone, so.
So. Was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
By the way, sometimes the media, Serena's and Roger Federer, they're past their prime. They've been dominant for like 18 or 20 years. You don't have to play badly when you lose to great players. Like it's the reality is this idea that Serena, you know, you didn't play very well. Once an athlete gets out of their prime, they can still be great, but for shorter durations. It's not about playing poorly. You just can't quite get to spots. You're just not quite as consistent. That always drives me nuts. That somebody has to play poorly. Roger Federer loses to Nadal. Nadal's just better. That Djokovic is just better than Federer on certain days. It doesn't mean Federer played poorly.
It's also hard when you're the GOAT. I think we put these players on a pedestal that's sometimes when you're out of your prime, as you mentioned, it's unrealistic to reach that same status every single time you play.
Serena gets everybody's best match.
Yes.
Federer gets. So it's like, I don't buy into this, you know, you just weren't ready to play. No, it was one of those days as an aging athlete that a spectacular young talent got to more
shots.
That's the way it works in sports. If you're doing nothing illegal with your body, Serena is aging appropriately.
She is.
She is gracefully not quite as dominant as she was.
No, that match was the past, the present, and the future.
Yep.
It made sense. All right, moving on to LeBron. He may be taking the next step in expanding his empire. He has numerous business ventures outside of basketball already, and he could be looking to add another one in the music industry. Last night he tweeted, "My love for music is insane. I think I'm going to do an album. Oh no, I won't be rapping or anything like that. I'm not crazy. I know what I'm great at, but I'm telling you one thing, I do have so many friends who can just thinking out loud." And this is LeBron, I think, just building his mega brand, just adding to the resume. But as he said, he knows what he's good at.
Yeah, Damian Lillard actually can do it. He can pull it off. He can be the artist.
And if you have the money, you know the right people, all you got to do is hire the right people. When you have a music studio, you can make any voice sound the way you want it to sound.
I contend, this is my belief,
okay,
that LeBron has changed Los Angeles. So LeBron could have gone anywhere. He went to Los Angeles. And other athletes watch and imitate what the great athletes do. Like Tom Brady, his commitment to off-season stuff. You're seeing Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Guys are more committed. That when LeBron came to Los Angeles, it really, other athletes went and said, "Oh, I can build a career while I'm playing." It's nothing against Indianapolis. It's nothing against Philadelphia, but what LeBron is doing, that's why I think you have this move. So many pro athletes. Matt Stafford's like, "Get me LA." Trevor Bauer's like, "Get me LA." I think LeBron, we've always known LA, that you can do things beyond, but I think LeBron has been so successful building his production TV business that I think it is making athletes think, the weather's great, I'm getting paid, I don't care about the taxes. The bottom line is I can create a second ancillary career while I play. And I think LeBron's ignited a lot of those discussions with pro athletes and their agents.
He has an incredible brand, and he's a smart marketer. He uses social media well.
Yep.
All he's doing is expanding.
Good stuff. Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Cremo Barber Shave Cream gives you close, comfortable shave while fighting razor burn. Fight the burn. Major retailers have it. Amazon has it. CremoCompany.com has it as well. We're waiting for Bruce Arians. Here's the situation we're at with quarterbacks. So Carson Wentz is signed with the Colts. So we said this yesterday. We know there are five college quarterbacks that are going to get drafted. We know there is Wentz on the market. Now he's off. There's Darnold on the market. There's Mariota on the market. Let's see who else is on the market. Deshaun's not yet on the market. So you start looking at teams that need quarterbacks. So let's look at right now. We took the Colts off. Here's now who needs a quarterback. So the Jags need a quarterback. We know who they're going to draft. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. So that one we can figure out. The Jets don't need one, but the understanding is they're going to move to Zach Wilson of BYU. That's going to leave Darnold available. Carolina, more than a few leaks, is going to move eventually off Teddy Bridgewater or draft a quarterback. Same with Denver. New England has Cam, but they'll probably make a move. Washington, we know, needs one. Chicago's urgent. Saints, I think, will probably go with Jameis Winston. Wouldn't shock me if they drafted one. And the Pittsburgh Steelers with Big Ben comments. So what you're seeing in the NFL, plus I think a lot of this, I think Tom Brady goes to Tampa and wins. And I think a lot of teams look at that and go, well, it's just as easy. Go get a quarterback and you win Super Bowls, but it's not that easy. But Carson Wentz is off the market. And you know what? I root for players. I want him to kick butt. I hope he and Frank Reich kick all sorts of butt. So Bruce Arians is very unique. He's the oldest coach to win a Super Bowl. He's the only interim head coach to win Coach of the Year. He's the only team that has all black coordinators, multiple female coaches. He retired from coaching and came back. He's done it his way from day one in the league. And right now he's at the top of the heap in the NFL. And Bruce Arians, the Super Bowl champ, the Bucs head coach, is joining us live. And we appreciate that. By the way, I want you to go ArriansFamilyFoundation.org. Cocktails with Arians and Friends tomorrow night, 6 to 8. So Bruce is joining us. First of all, Bruce, you're a busy guy. You didn't have to. We appreciate this. And I want to start with this moment. What was the moment, Bruce, this year? You may have said it to your family. You may have said it to coaches. But you said to your staff or somebody, guys, we're really close. We are really close to getting this thing buttoned up. Was there that moment or epiphany before you got to the Super Bowl, Bruce?
It really was, Colin. And first of all, I'm so happy that you're healthy.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, you don't need to be scaring me like that, brother.
Scared me too.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, I think it was right after the loss to the Chiefs. You know, we had lost to the Rams by 3, lost to the Chiefs by 3, and we had our open date. And it's like, dude, all our guys, team players, you guys know how close we are. Let's just get rested up, all right, and let's get ready for this last run. And there was a total belief in our entire organization that we were going to get this done.
And it's funny because after that moment, you get a break, and then you guys were on fire. Bruce, were practices different? Did you and Tom have a certain symmetry? What went on in those bye week practices? Was it different than anything you'd been a part of in coaching? Because something happened over that stretch, and you came out with your hair on fire for 2 months.
Yeah, we basically put up the scenarios for the playoffs. Who was in first? Who's the first seed? Who's the second seed? Where do we stand? What does this game mean? And we started the playoffs then. We are now in the playoffs. You guys wanted to be in the playoffs? Here we are. And every game matters. The practices intensity was always good, but it went up a notch. Tom knew how to take that bull by the horns and get a little more involved leadership-wise. And we don't accept anything but perfection, but it got better. It got better starting that next week.
You know, Bruce, it's interesting. This wasn't the easiest team to coach. You didn't have a preseason. You had a bunch of new parts. You had Lenny comes in. You got Gronk comes in. You got AB comes in. Godwin was hurt early. This wasn't easy. This was not easy, Bruce. You had injured players. You had new players coming in. Go back to September, October. Were there some moments of turbulence that you ever had a doubt and thought, good Lord, we got a lot of new faces. We got a lot of new guys. We got a lot of mouths to feed. Was there a point when you questioned it?
No, we're so fortunate because when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are your superstar receivers, they're the most unselfish guys I've ever coached to be great players. They just wanted to win. So nobody could bitch and want the ball because they didn't bitch and want the ball. So it was like, as we added the pieces, out of necessity because of injuries, they were welcome with open arms. I went to Mike, I went to Chris, I said, look, I think I might sign AB. I said, Coach, you think it's going to help us win the Super Bowl? I said, I think so. Hey, we're all for it. Oh, we're all for it. We'll give up catches. We don't care. We want to win a Super Bowl.
God, that's great. You know, one of the things about Tom is that there's a sense in the world when a player gets great, he's harder to coach. And, you know, listen, Tom has things he's good at. Tom probably has things he doesn't love to do. You guys, you have ways you like to coach. He's got ways you've got to play. But you kind of made it work. What is it like to coach Tom? Or is it easier? Is it more of a challenge? And that's not a knock on anybody, but there are players that have kind of a system they believe in. What's Tom like to coach? I know it's a simple question, but what is it like?
He loves hard coaching. He wants to be coached hard, and he wants to learn new things and try new things. So that part of it. But also, Byron did such a great job of keeping him comfortable what we were doing and what he has done in the past, and adding the conglomeration of his offense, our offense, it was just the Bucks offense. You know, and it wasn't, I have to laugh when I hear these guys say, oh man, they're running New England's offense now. But, dude, go back and watch the film of Cleveland, Pittsburgh. It's the same shit we've been running for 20 years. Right. Tom's just, they run the same thing. He can make every throw. And it's just, buying into, okay, 3rd and 2, I got a shot for the first down, but I also have a chunk for 40 yards. And I love my matchup. I coach it, take the chunk.
Yeah.
He's probably in the past said, I'm getting the first down. And I would turn the film on and say, look, dude, you had a chance for 40. You're right. as he started attacking and embraced that philosophy. But also, Byron did such a great job of keeping him comfortable verbiage-wise, because, I mean, it was, we laugh. I said, Tom, you couldn't have known what half the words meant when we played New Orleans the first time.
Yeah.
You know, we played him the third time, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got this. I got this now.
Yeah.
And but he loves being coached. He loves the challenge, and he loves looking at things in a different way.
You know, you there was a couple of plays. I said this on the air. I thought my favorite play in the playoffs from you guys was actually in the Green Bay game. And I think you gave it was a little bit of a jet sweep to Chris Godwin at the end of the game to get that first down, and he slid. And I said, God, I bet Bruce Arians has had that damn thing in his playbook for 12 weeks. I literally went on the next day and I went, they've been holding on to that play for 12 weeks. And it was the end of the play game, so you got to just give me clarity on that play. I didn't see you run that thing the whole year. How long had you had that kind of jet sweep to seal the Green Bay game at Lambeau?
We've been practicing it. Oh God, 6 weeks. You know, every time we go to five, it's 100% pass with five wide receivers in the game or four and a tight end. So we had that four or five runs. That was our favorite. And it was just the perfect timing. I said, Byron, if we get to third and four or less, we're going to run that ball. He's, oh, coach, that's the perfect one. That's the perfect one. He called it. And the guys executed to perfection.
Do you think Bruce, and you're very much a family guy, you're young at heart. Did you sense, maybe it was after the Super Bowl, that, you know what, I can do this for a few more years? I got about 3 or 4 years. Did Tom actually make you feel a little bit of that fountain of youth?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, now if I have to start coaches, I mean, if I lost Byron or Todd, I have to think about it, because not losing any coaches this year makes next year so much easier and so much easier to repeat. But once you start deleting your coaching staff, I don't want to go back to calling plays.
Right.
And Byron right now is still the only guy I trust doing it.
Yeah.
And I'd have to think long and hard if I was going to lose him.
Boy, I'm watching you drink that. Looks like a Bud Light on that boat. Good Lord, you look happy.
Hey, dude, and you know me, I don't drink beer, but that was a hell of a good tasting beer.
Okay, so Cocktails with the Arians and Friends. That's tomorrow night, 6 to 8 Eastern. For more information, go to AriansFamilyFoundation.org. Everybody I know that knows you, loves you, and you're one of those guys. Listen, the last two Super Bowl winners are Andy Reid and Bruce Arians, and you may be the two most loved guys in the league. I could not be happier for you and your front office. I covered the Bucs years ago when I worked in Tampa, and I'm happy for you, Coach. Thank you.
Oh, you bet, Colin, man. And you stay healthy now. Don't be scaring me like that no more.
All right. I won't. I promise. Bruce Arians. I loved that play.
That was awesome.
I loved that play. You know, there's something to be said about coaching discipline. When you know, Andy Reid's like that. Andy and Bruce, they're dreaming. Sean McVay's got a little bit of that. And you don't show your hand early. And so they had been working on that play for 6 weeks. Boom, it was my favorite play in the playoffs.
You guessed close. You said 12 weeks. He said 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's that play was so clever. Little jet sweep, Chris Godwin slide. You're like, oh, come on. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. That's coaching discipline to draw it up and not call your card until you absolutely need it. So Bruce Arians today, Lance Briggs, Dwight Freeney, and Albert Breer. We have been really busy today. Carson Wentz is now a Colt, and I actually think it helps Sam Darnold.
Oh, yeah.
You got Washington and Chicago, like, need a quarterback. And I think he fits both. I think Darnold's a physical presence that works in tough Chicago. Ron Rivera is a defensive coach. He doesn't want a finesse quarterback. He wants a baller. I think Sam Darnold's going to be off the market here. Now, the question is, when do the Jets move on this? Mm-hmm. Listen, who knows what the Jets are going to do, but generally coaches and GMs want their own quarterback. My guess is they'll go with Zach Wilson. I think he's going to struggle in that division. You got to play Brian Flores twice a year, Sean McDermott twice a year, and Belichick twice a year. Those guys are going to eat up rookie quarterbacks. I can make a very compelling argument if I'm the Jets, I keep Darnold. I can make a really strong argument. I just don't think they're going to.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Supplement I take every morning, M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. It's good to have you in. Carson Wentz was traded this morning. Matt Stafford was traded about 2 weeks ago. There's a lot of movement now with quarterbacks. There's going to be more movement here in the next 3 or 4 weeks pre-draft, which is late April. So in Best for Last, we're going to play Dealt or Not Dealt. Alex, go ahead.
Starting with Odell Beckham Jr., dealt or not dealt?
I think he's going to be dealt. I don't think Cleveland's going to get what they thought they would get. But Baker Mayfield had 20 touchdowns and 2 picks once Odell Beckham Jr. left because of an injury. He was a more effective quarterback. The data doesn't lie. He's only played a full 16-game season once in the last 4 years, so he's become expensive and brittle. But he is explosive, and for a team that needs an over-the-top wide receiver, there is a market for him. He'll get dealt.
Sam Darnold, dealt or not dealt?
I think dealt. I could make a very strong argument the Jets should keep him, but he's got 1 year left on his rookie deal, so he's not expensive. Somebody can give him a tryout. Chicago and Washington are both really good defensively and desperate for a quarterback. And over 3 years with the Jets, he's 11-22. And I think it in a market where the Jets are just dull and losing, I think spending a number two pick on a pizzazz college quarterback gets a lot of love and attention. And I think the Jets do stuff like that historically.
Jimmy Garoppolo, dealt or not dealt?
I'm going to say not dealt. First of all, as good as Kyle Shanahan is, he is 7-27 without Jimmy G in the starting lineup. I also don't think in a division with Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray, you can bring in another quarterback who doesn't know Kyle Shanahan's system. It is a very comprehensive system where all the quarterbacks that have played in it are better in the second year. And also, listen, Nick Bosa's coming back. George Kittle's coming back. Debo Samuel. They're going to be favored maybe in Vegas to win the division if Jimmy's back. So let's not overreact to Garoppolo. I think for one more year, they run it out with him.
And he's just got to stay healthy.
Right.
Russell Wilson, dealt or not dealt?
Not dealt. He's unhappy, but let's be honest, made the playoffs in 8 of his 9 years. They would be nuts to move off him. They don't have a competent backup. 3,000-plus passing yards. They are going to address, I'm told, the offensive line in the draft. They went out and got a kid last year from LSU, a right guard who's pretty good. Now they have to go get a left guard. But, I mean, to Seattle, you don't get rid of Russell Wilson. He's complaining mostly because he knows he's going to be there and he wants stuff done. If Russell Wilson wanted out, he wouldn't say anything. He just leaks stuff and not say anything. He's saying stuff because he knows he's there for the long term and he's unhappy.
Deshaun Watson.
Dealt. First of all, he wants out. He's willing to sit out. His agent wants him to move. He's also the best quarterback on the market. Translation, bidding war, meaning Houston has a chance to really for 10 years get 4 first-rounders, players. They don't have any picks as an organization. So they need picks. So moving him may be a blow, but they have the ability to move him, not only get a bridge quarterback like a Teddy Bridgewater, but also get draft a quarterback. So it's kind of the perfect scenario. If you're going to lose a star quarterback, can I get a grown-up bridge quarterback? And do I have the draft capital to get the next quarterback? The answer is yes, yes. So I think he gets dealt.
Stephon Gilmore, dealt or not dealt?
I would say dealt. He ranked 99th. Best cornerback, according to Pro Football Focus. He had a bad year. He got injured. Bill Belichick's history is you move off earlier than later. Now, I do think he'll play better next year. And I also think he plays, he's probably no longer an elite number one corner, but every team in the league can use his leadership, his brain power, his understanding of concepts with Belichick. So I think there's a market for him at a right price, but I just don't think it's in New England. And New England, by the way, has been drafting corners last several years. So they got some young guys they like.
And those are valuable traits.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota, dealt or not dealt?
I think he's dealt. He's only 27. He's too talented to probably be a backup. He's not much of a cap hit. He's only owed about $10.5 million next year. So he's not going to jam up your salary space or draft capital. He's a starter. He won a lot of games as a starter. He had that great game this year against the Chargers where he had 315 yards. So, you know, I think, again, somebody's going to roll the dice on him. If you get Marcus Mariota, you should have a capable backup because he's a fairly reckless player. But he's cheap. He's capable. He's won a lot of games. Somebody rolls the dice.
Michael Gallup, dealt or not dealt?
I would say not dealt. First of all, the last couple of years, he's given you 800 yards, five touchdowns. So he's a very good number two receiver. He's also an over-the-top receiver for Dallas. Amari Cooper's not really an over-the-top receiver. And right now, he's not that expensive. It's also becoming a weapons league, and one thing the Cowboys do have is wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, and Amari Cooper. So it's the one team strength. They may not want to move off that as a team strength. So he's a good player. He's not expensive yet. So I think they keep him.
All right. Zach Ertz, dealt or not dealt?
I don't know what his market is. I'd say dealt. He got banged up. He's had some injury issues. He's a little expensive, but I do think Philadelphia, they got the Wentz salary, the Zach Ertz salary. They haven't been a terribly good drafting team, but they've got a kid behind him they like. I think they want to start kind of getting younger on offense and less expensive because they got Fletcher Cox and Darius Slay, who are both great and expensive on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. So I think if they can move his salary, it's probably something they would consider. He's still capable. I just don't know if he feels like a 16-game tight end. He feels like a situational tight end, a little Gronky, where he, like Gronk, had, you know, he's valuable.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm going to get 16, 17 games out of him.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins, dealt or not dealt?
I don't think he's going to be dealt. He's pretty punitive. His salary's big. He's very he's Derek Carr. He's better than everybody wants to admit. I also think they're going to be a better football team this year. He's not somebody that's going to carry an average roster. And last year, the Vikings defense, they lost a lot of people. They had injuries. They lost some free agents. It was bad defense. So I think they reboot this year. I think they'll double their wins this year. It's a good organization. They draft pretty well. They only have the number 14 overall pick, so they're kind of trapped. They're not going to be good enough. Maybe Mac Jones, but yeah, I kind of think Kirk's, they're, you know, they re-signed him to an extension, so yeah. They like him. He's a good guy. Never misses starts, by the way.
That's big.
All these quarterbacks on the market right now, Mariota misses starts, Darnold misses them. Mm-hmm. People talk about Garoppolo, he misses them. Carson Wentz misses them. Kirk Cousins doesn't miss starts, so there's value in that. There we go. Dealt or not dealt. So, my Super Bowl window, it doesn't last very long, but I think Carson Wentz to the Colts puts them in my Super Bowl bubble with seven other teams. I think Baltimore and Seattle are close, but I think you have three AFC teams now that I feel like are in the Super Bowl bubble: Kansas City, the Colts with Carson Wentz, and Buffalo. And I feel there are four NFC teams now that are in the bubble. I think Tampa's going to be in it with Brady and all those pieces. I think Green Bay will always be in it with Aaron. I think the Rams are in it. They won 10 games in a playoff game with Goff. I think Stafford makes them better. And I think San Francisco, they get a lot of people back. And I think you make one more run with Garoppolo. I get those who argue the other way. You can make an argument not to, but I think if Garoppolo is ready, upright, that's a Super Bowl team, 1 year removed from being in the Super Bowl and ahead of Kansas City in the fourth quarter. So there you go. Alex, you're back tomorrow.
I am.
Great. Maybe another baseball trade. We get lucky when Alex is here. All right, we'll see you tomorrow in Los Angeles. It's The Herd.